they're about in central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Hopefully your day is going well. A little bit of rain earlier, but that's all gone now, so we should have a pretty nice evening. We've got our phone lines open, 946-0435. I'll talk to you about paying for college football and the future and how it's going to come back on you and your wallet. Something Tennessee did yesterday that is probably going to become the standard, passing along the fees that they're paying in NIL and to players onto you, the fan, calling it a talent fee. I'll get to that in just 1 second. But a little bit ago, like maybe 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, I saw a post on social media, a picture of Michael J. Fox wearing the orange jacket from Back to the Future. It's a scene from Back to the Future. I want to read this to you. Everybody think about this for just 1 second, all right? It says, Marty McFly went from 1985 to 1955, which is like traveling back to 1994 today. Now, think about that stuff. That'll blow your friggin' mind, okay? I love Back to the Future. I just watched it again recently with my son a couple months ago. And if you think about what 1985 was like, and then you travel back to small town 1955, what an unbelievable culture shock it would be, as it was for Marty McFly in that movie. But that's the same as if we traveled today back to 1994. And, okay, so it got me thinking, and man, if there's any of you that would like to discuss this, I'm all in on this topic, baby. What would it be like to go back to 1994? Would it be some crazy, trippy adventure like it was going from 1985 to 1955 in Back to the Future? Because I don't really think so. I graduated high school in 1992. So I got to thinking, like, what's different between 1994 and today? Two things obviously come to mind. Cell phones. There's a great line in the Jumanji movie. If you've seen the Jumanji movie with The Rock and Jack Black and Kevin Hart and there's this person that's trapped in their Jumanji jungle world, and Jack Black keeps talking about, I need my phone, I need my phone, I need my phone, I need my phone. And I think it's Joe Jonas, or maybe Nick Jonas. I think it's Nick Jonas. I forget which one is in the movie. He says, does phone mean something different in the future? So if we went back to 1994, if somebody today went back to 1994, you would clearly notice a difference that there, you know, would be no, you know, there wouldn't be cell phones. There were some cell phones, but clearly not everybody had one. That's one kind of culture shock for younger people if they went back. And then two, obviously, the computers, you know, internet, that kind of stuff. But to be perfectly honest with you, I was doing a lot of thinking over the last hour after I saw this. Like, if I went back to 1994, I happen to think a hell of a lot of things that I would see in 1994 would be, you know, pretty close to identical or very, very similar as they are today. I mean, maybe my mind is playing tricks on me. It certainly wouldn't be like going from 1985 to 1955. That's going to like a completely different universe. Our country changed from 1955 to 1985. Like, just seismic changes. All the crazy hippie stuff in the 60s. All the crazy clothes and decor in the 70s. I don't know what the hell the 70s were about. But 1985, I consider, you know, that's when I grew up. It was awesome living then. I consider 1985 relatively modern times. If you went back from 85 to 55, you would clearly be like in another world. But if you went from 2024 to 1994, how many of you think that it would be that crazy of a difference? Honestly. I mean, again, the cell phones, the computers would be different. We wouldn't have 1,000 TVs anymore, or 1,000 TV channels anymore. There would still be Blockbuster instead of Netflix. But I think life was pretty darn cool in 1994. So, man, I just got a kick out of that. Marty McFly went from 1985 to 1955, which is like traveling back to 1994 today. That's great. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to ask you if you're ready to be paying for college football and basketball players to get paid. Because that's what's coming.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
All right, 946-0435. That's the number if you'd like to join me. Story came out yesterday that is complete and utter bullcrap and really, really bugs me. And yet, this is just how it's going to be. This is just the first domino to fall. From the ESPN story. Headline, Tennessee increases ticket prices by 10% to help pay athletes. Well, F you, Tennessee. How much longer is it going to be before your favorite school does this? Penn State, Pitt, every other program in the country. Here's the story. In what is believed to be the first arrangement of its kind, Tennessee fans for all sports will be charged a 10% talent fee on tickets to help pay athletes as part of the new revenue sharing plan set to begin in 2025. Again, from the ESPN story, the university shared the news with football season ticket holders via email Tuesday, which included an impassioned four-minute video of athletic director Danny White telling fans the talent fee and other strategies were, quote, part of an extensive plan to continue our dominance in college athletics and build something like never seen before. What do you think of this, folks? If you're a Penn State fan out there, if you're a Penn State season ticket holder, it's a matter of time before you get this type of notice. They may not call it a talent fee. They may do it secretly. Hell, who the hell knows how they're going to do it? But this is going to become SOP, standard operating procedure in college athletics. Because we've opened the Pandora's box that athletes are going to get paid. I could have a four-hour discussion on all of this stuff, bringing in 30 different tangents and elements to it. But the bottom line is, if schools have to pay athlete students to play sports, they're going to pass the costs on to you. Period. End of discussion. It's going to happen. May not be next year. May not be 5 years from now. I'd say within 10. I just talked about this on the show yesterday. Seat licenses. I remember all the hubbub when Penn State instituted the STEP program. Oh, what year was this? Maybe 14 years ago, 2010, 2000, give it, I don't know, whatever. But they did so a good nearly a decade after some other teams had schools had done this. Minnesota comes to mind, Michigan comes to mind. I wrote a big story about this for the Altoona Mirror years ago, how Penn State basically put off the seat license deal for a lot of years, and it ended up costing them money. Now everybody's just kind of used to it. But this whole Tennessee thing, 10% talent fee to help pay for the athletes, professional sports. This is professional sports. But you know what they do in professional sports? They raise ticket prices. Or your streaming services price goes up. Cable TV price goes up. You don't, when business costs rise, businesses don't eat the cost. They pass the cost on to consumers. That's what's happening here. So F you, Tennessee, for being the first to do this. But 10 years from now, when everybody's doing it, again, they may not be so brazen. They may not have the cojones to just come out and say, hey, you gullible suckers, we're going to charge you a talent fee. Might be written in some different language for some other schools. You know, cost of competition, whatever. But this is real. This is here. Jason on the road. What's up, Jason?
So, at one point you said, you know, the bottom line is you're going to pay the players, you're going to have to raise prices somewhere, and that really is what it comes down to. And I almost think of this as almost like a negotiating point that Tennessee's in. And it's going to be difficult for schools to negotiate because there's so many options for the high-end athletic talent, especially for the revenue-generating sports. But much like when the NFL goes to negotiate with their players, they basically said, this is our TV deal. We're going to divvy this up, and that's your salary cap. I mean, it's a little more nuanced than that.
Yes.
That's basically what
yes.
I think that's pretty much what Tennessee's going to say is, here's what 10% brings on the team. We'll divvy it up. And it gives them a starting point.
They're trying to compete at a high level. Penn State wants to compete at a high level. I can use Penn State as our basis for example here because most sports fans here are Penn State fans. But I'm not ripping Penn State here. They're all going to do this if they feel like they want to compete at the highest level. What I will bring up from the Penn State perspective, as I've talked about for 10 years, Penn State has 31 varsity sports. Football pays for all of them. Well, not all of them, but for a vast majority of it. Okay? So here we are. Maybe it's time to not have 31 sports anymore. If you can't afford it, Jason, if you open up a coffee shop and you just can't afford to run your business without charging customers an arm and a leg, your coffee shop is going to go under. But in college, King football pays for everything. So now let's add on more costs. Let's hit up the sucker gullible football fans. Look, Penn State's got 107,000 people at every game. They probably have 50 more thousand waiting to get on a ticket cost. If Penn State started charging a talent fee tomorrow, people would buy it up because they probably would think this is what has to be done to compete. And that's why, to me, all of this is inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's to a point. I mean, you can raise prices to a point where, there might be 50,000 people waiting to get on that list at the current prices. If you doubled or tripled the prices, not the 10% doubling or tripling, but there is a point where people will go away. Well, I can't afford it. There are people out there that are just going to say, I can't afford it. So, but until they get to that point, if they have a waiting list, I mean, at what point do they start charging just to be on the waiting list?
Sure. Yeah, I'm surprised schools aren't doing that yet.
Yeah, you want to keep your name, pay me an extra whatever. So this is, when you talk about the 31 sports, it goes to, is it worth it to have a top-notch fencing team at Penn State? At some point, they're going to have to make that decision, but I also think conferences are going to start to make that decision among schools. At some point, they're going to look at the schools that aren't bringing in eyeballs and say, do I need to divvy up revenue with you?
This is going to be just another step on the ladder of separating the haves and have-nots and breaking off and forming a professional college football league. The schools that want to charge talent fees and are truly serious about competing, they will go off on their own, and they're going to charge a 10% talent fee, and then 10 years later it's going to be a 15% talent fee. And I'm not joking here in any way, shape, or form. I'm harking back to 40 years ago when I would get my Sporting News or Sports Illustrated, and it showed Nolan Ryan as the highest paid baseball player in baseball at $1 million a year. Now pitchers make $1 million a start. In 40 years, when these college football players are making $1 million salary, and I mean salary. I'm talking salary, people. In 40 to 50 years, where's that money going to come from? They're going to pass it on to you, the consumer.
Yeah, and I think your 40 years is way too far.
Probably
off.
So. I wanted to give myself enough time to cover my ass because I'll be dead by the time that happens. So nobody can criticize me if I'm wrong.
Well, we will. Don't worry.
Exactly right.
But I think there's going to be players making $1 million very shortly.
No, I mean like all players. Dude, I'm talking like all players. Some players make $1 million now. I'm talking about in 40 years, the base salary for
minimum.
Exactly. In 40 years, the base salary for a major college top 40, top 50 football program, the average salary is going to be $1 million. And it might be 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. There's 100 kids on the roster.
It'll be more scholarship-based, so 85 scholarships. But
okay.
Bottom line, you know, the quarterbacks might make six, and some others might make $300,000. So I'm just telling you, just like the average salary in Major League Baseball right now, I think is $6 million a year. Give college football 40 or 50 years.
Yeah, that will be the average.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. Got caller number two here. Now, has Ohio State sent you out anything yet saying that they need a talent fee from you?
No, I didn't go to Ohio State. I am a fan. I went to Dayton, but
I knew that.
I'm sure they'd hit me up.
I knew that, but surely somewhere you're on some kind of fan mailing list or booster mailing list, right?
Well, I'm going to the Marshall game, so I bought tickets, and I think I spent with the fees for the Marshall game about $400.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
For how many tickets?
Two.
Is this with parking?
No, that's just the tickets.
Did you get these through Ohio State or secondary outlet?
It was secondary. Yeah, it was on Ticketmaster.
Right. So Ohio State Marshall in a 100,000 seat stadium, those tickets are $200.
Jesus. Yeah, about that with the fees and stuff. It started out like 100 and something, and then, you know, you start putting it in the cart.
See, that's another thing that pisses me off. Like you go to Ticketmaster, you get your concert tickets. They're like $100 a piece. So you're like, okay, $200. Then you get your total. It's like $290. Like, where the hell does $90 come from? Well, they got this fee and that fee and all this stuff. What a sham.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's, you gotta count on that when you punch it in, because you know the base price is not what you're ending up with. But here on your deal here, I called my brother, who's a diehard Ohio State fan and went there, and he's going to be going to the game. But I told him we spent $20 million for this team this year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be $30 million. I think it's going to explode within the next 3 or 4 years, because the competition is going to be intense and the agents are going to be going crazy.
So my 40-year estimate of $1 million average salary, you think I'm about 30 years off on that?
Well, if Ohio State spent 20 this year, would you think for 85 scholarships? And, you know, I know it's top-ended for some of the players, but it's just going to explode, because the agents are going to want theirs and these kids are going to want theirs. I heard C.J. Stroud made $2.5 million his junior year, and that's why he almost stayed.
There's the Tennessee quarterback who chose to go there. He got an $8 million NIL deal. I think that's the highest I've seen. They play Oklahoma this week. That's going to be a good game. Do you have a problem with the schools passing along the cost to the customer? Do you have, more so than that, do you have a problem with this, them just brazenly saying this is a talent fee?
I'll go to one game a year, but I think it's going to get totally out of control. Buddy of mine did get a letter from Penn State, and he's a graduate, and they were. I heard you probably heard that they were all asked. I don't know if it's for NIL, but they were asked for money.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to be crazy. It's going to be the Ohio State professional football team, and we play in the stadium, and
Yep. That's
the only time you'll ever see us.
Yep. Very good, buddy. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the clip here. And I've seen the movie a ton. I got to make sure there's no swear words in here. I'm pretty sure there's not.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not so you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Louder. Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
I love Jerry Maguire. It's one of my favorite movies. So when he mentioned the agents are going to want their share, what do you think of a talent fee, Scott? You okay with that or not?
Well, if they're going to start getting a talent fee, we better be able to start criticizing them without getting in trouble.
Well, there's plenty of criticism. I mean, look, our last caller mentioned Ohio State. If Ryan Day doesn't win a national title this year and they're spending $20 million, People say he could get fired, you know? So, I mean, if you want to be on
maybe
a
maybe he should.
Yeah, if James Franklin...
up expectations.
If Penn State ever wants to go this route, and believe me, knock on wood, they will. They may not have the cojones to just say this is a talent fee, but they're going to raise prices so that they can use that money to pay their talent. Then, you know, it stands to reason that every coach there should be on the hot seat every single year.
Well, I called you a while back when we were on a similar topic about ticket prices and stuff. We have four season tickets, and we pay $2,200 a piece for each ticket. So that's
$8,800. How about parking?
$8,800.
How about parking? So is that included in that?
No. Yeah. Parking, well, yeah, it's parking, the seat license fee, the donation, the ticket price is everything.
So everything total, your total is $8,800.
$8,800 for that's four club seats.
That's about right. I've referenced, I've met referenced many times over the years. I know people that pay four tickets and they pay about $10,000. So that's roughly in the same ballpark.
So if we're saying a 10% increase on that, that's another what? $800?
You gonna do it?
More than likely than not, because I don't want to quit going. So most likely, I probably will.
Even if they call it,
I don't like it.
And of the 107,000 people that go, how many people do you think would draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm not going to do"? Let's play a game. This is a good game. 107,000 people. How many people? I've got a number in mind. You give me a number. How many of 107,000 people will draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm not going to pay an extra 10% talent fee"?
I'd say it's less than 5,000.
Okay, I was thinking 3,500.
Yeah,
that's my number.
Yeah.
And you know what? Those 3,000.
Not that many.
Those 3,500. Bye. I got 30,000 more people waiting on a waiting list to take your place.
They'll never get their tickets back.
Yep, that's right. So there's
always somebody that wants them.
You say 5,000. This is an open-ended question for everybody. Of 107,000 Penn State season ticket holders, and the number's not quite that high, it's a little less, but how many would draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm not paying a 10% talent fee"? I think the number might be less than 1,000 for all I know.
Yeah. We when we can't go to the games, we sell the tickets. I can sell our tickets within 5 minutes. They're easy to get rid of.
Sure.
There's always people looking for tickets.
Absolutely,
so.
Yep. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate
it. It'll happen. All
thanks,
right.
Buddy. Thanks, Scott. 946-0435. Clarkster, of 107,000 Penn State
Penn tickets. Number's not 107,000.
I know. It's about 98,000, I think.
It's probably – how many students – tickets do they give?
But those count as season tickets, though. So your point is a good one.
Yeah, but they're not paying anywhere near
your,
that
your
price.
Point is a good one. Regardless, let's play along with my silly game. Of 107,000 people at the stadium, who would not be willing to pay 10% more for a talent fee? How many?
Somebody near death, maybe. I don't know. No, what your last caller says, they end up selling them at a premium. So the part of their financing is done by idiots that will pay any number for it. The other problem with all this, I sent you an email. JMU, James Madison, is stepping up, okay? If you look at the cost of attendance, there's a number there that they're charging in the tuition for intercollegiate athletics.
Right, it's in there, yep.
Yeah, it's in there. So if that's James Madison has done that, who's to say that down the road, because that's the thing you look at with colleges anymore, these fees are getting ridiculous.
Now, the Penn State...
And they make the comment that they hold the line on tuition, but they're talking out of the other side of their mouth.
Sure, with fees, yeah. So here's where Penn State, a lot of you know this, some of you maybe you don't. Penn State Athletics has a separate budget from the university. The university does not pay for the athletic department. Now, there are probably some crossover loopholes here, but Penn State Athletics, by every understanding, pays for every component of Penn State Athletics. James Franklin's salary, coach's salary, NIL. They do not draw from the general education fund. So therefore, theoretically, the university is not allowed, again, theoretically, they are not allowed as a university to raise tuition cost to pay for athletics. Athletics is its own business. It'd be like McDonald's raising prices to pay for Burger King. It's a completely separate, again, this is in theory. But when push comes to shove, and if the school's going to get super serious enough about it, and maybe they're at their wits' end about how to raise money, it would not at all shock me at some point if schools, including Penn State, start adding it into the tuition.
They'll by the end of the decade, this is goofy. We have a situation with Social Security that the politicians don't want to touch. But you will have a resolution of college athletics before the end of the decade that they will be identified as employees.
Yes, right.
And there's coincidence that these kids that are playing these major sports have any attachment to the university. I mean, that's the other thing on top of it. People, you know, have – that's the difference between 1985 or 1984 and 2024.
Hey,
right?
Did you hear my question at the beginning of the show?
Yes.
How different do you think it would be going back to 1994 compared to going from 1985 to 1955?
Well, there's a perfect example. What's happened in the sports world and what's happened in the college world.
Yeah. I mean, sports, even in 1985, people were not making anywhere near the kind of money that they are now. That would be a gigantic change from 55 to 85. But in 94, athletes were making. So I could see in 1994, going back to there, it's like, yeah, they're making less, but they were still making a ton then.
Well, yes and no. I don't think it's the way they're doing it now. I mean, this NIL crap is a joke. It's like the emperor's clothes. They're looking the other way.
How long is it before Penn State is charging a talent fee? Whether they call it a, quote, talent fee.
Well, they'll come up with a name for it.
Mm-hmm. How long? 5 years? 10 years?
Yeah.
2 years?
3 to 5 years if everybody starts doing it, you know, and jumping on. But of course, everything originates in the SEC conference.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, because it just means more down there, right?
Yeah. So
thanks, man. Appreciate it. Jerry in Bellwood. Let me ask you, if 107,000 at Beaver Stadium, Jerry, how many would refuse to pay 10% more and they would just draw the line there?
Maybe 1%.
Yeah,
this is all supply and demand.
Yep.
I mean, if they can get the money, they should do it. I don't have any problem with it, actually. I mean, because if Penn State, and they should call it a talent fee. I think they should do it now.
Just do it now. Just come right out and say we're okay. But in doing that, I'm going to blow back even more on having 31 varsity sports.
Okay.
Because I just think that number is way too many. When football, men's basketball, and hockey are really your only three sports that make money, so you're going to be charging. I mean, see, here's the thing, Jerry. They have gullible sucker fans for football. They don't have those for men's basketball. They don't have those for men's basketball. Most people don't give a crap about Penn State men's basketball. People care about wrestling because it's awesome. But 15 years ago, people didn't care as much about wrestling before Kale came. So people cared about women's volleyball with winning all the national titles. But there are 25 sports at Penn State that, quite frankly, almost very, very few people care about.
Yeah, I agree, but nothing's going to change until they see the money not coming in. And Penn State doesn't do this.
That's right.
Because they have to compete with the other colleges, the Ohio States and the Texases and the Alabamas. They have to, and if they tack on 10%, 20%, 20%, I think they should tack on as much as they possibly can and get the biggest budget they possibly can so they can get the best players they can. That's where we are in college sports right now.
And I mentioned earlier, you probably heard me say it then or many one many times before, Penn State was way late to the game for the step, for the season, for the seat licenses, and it cost them millions of dollars. So you're saying go ahead and rip off the Band-Aid now and just start charging the talent fee.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't make sense not to. If we don't like how the college sports are going now, that's too bad. I mean, because it's never going to go back to the way it was. I mean, and if we want Penn State to continue winning, I'm talking about the football program because, like you said, pretty much the other programs nobody cares about. They're going to have to get the talent, and the only way we're going to get talent is to pay. To pay the athletes, and unless they have money coming in from alumni that they don't need to do that, then they're going to have to do it. And we got to whining about it's not going to do any good. Look, I can't see somebody paying $8,000-$10,000 a year for tickets anyway. I think I would never in a million years do that unless I was, and then it wasn't much money to me. But as long as people are willing to do it. Then do it.
If you're paying $9,000 for tickets, and they start charging you $9,900, you're probably going to do it, right?
Yeah, if I can afford $10,000 a year for tickets, I can afford $11,000 or $12,000.
I'm going to make one. I'm going to make one societal. I'm going to go a very different direction here. This may offend some people, and if I do, I'm sorry. For those who smoke. I remember growing up, and I'm 50. I remember growing up, cigarettes used to be less than a dollar for a pack. Then they had all the legal troubles, and they lost all the lawsuits. And I remember thinking, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, whenever it was, like cigarettes got to be like $8 a package. I remember thinking like, well, nobody's ever going to pay that. People are just going to stop smoking. No, that didn't happen.
No, nope. Hey, if I'm running a business and I sell widgets, and I'm selling it for $10, okay, but if I can get $100 for that same widget, guess what? You're paying $100.
Yep, that's right. People are going to pay it. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
During the post-race at Watkins Glen, Martin Truex Jr. complained of drivers flat-out wrecking others and foresaw that before the race as well.
Yeah, that's the hard part when you race with those kind of guys. And you know, for the most part, generally everybody's, you know, respectful of the situation, I would say. And those guys have enough experience to know not to run somebody over that's, you know, maybe fighting for a playoff spot or championship or whatever. So they all have a lot of experience. They're great drivers, and it's not like they're new to this. So you just try to play it a little bit safe around them and make sure, you know, that you don't get yourself in a bad situation because they're going to be aggressive for sure.
Martin then proclaimed after the race, "I'm out of here," meaning he's done at the end of this year. Watkins Glen is in the books where the 19 car was more of a pinball out there. He finished 20th. One more road course on the schedule of sorts, the Roval at Charlotte.
You know, honestly, I always enjoyed them. My first racing as a kid was on road courses and you know, felt like I always enjoyed them and looked forward to it. Even, you know, coming up here in the Busch North Series way back in the day and always had success on road courses throughout. It was a little harder to find it in the cup car, but it took a little bit longer. But you have so much talent across the board from the regulars to the ringers to whoever comes to the road courses. So been able to win, you know, a handful of road course races throughout my career in different series. That's been fun.
Well, this weekend is not a road course. It happens to be Bristol Motor Speedway, a short track that Martin's pretty good at. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. You're on the final lap.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hank FM.
All the small things. All right, 946-0435 if you want to join me. 946-0435. You heading to a game this week? Going out hunting? Camping, whatever, head on over to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. First off, they'll hook you up with pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, whatever you're looking for. Out at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell pipe. 946-0435. That's our number if you want to join me about our subject today. Talent fee, Tennessee is going to charge a 10% talent fee. What do you make of this? Would you pay it if Penn State is going to start charging it? And I say if. I feel confident that any football program that is extremely financially serious about trying to win a championship is going to start doing this. Okay, it's going to happen at some point. Now, whether Penn State or Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia or Clemson flat out says this is a talent fee, those two words are pretty fascinating because that is basically just, hey, we need you to pay for our business. But that's the way business works, with costs getting passed on to consumers. So I would fully expect for Penn State to do this at some point. I don't think Penn State would label it a talent fee. I think they would label it something far more conservative that they could maybe hide behind. But Jerry from Bellwood calls his, go ahead and do it now. Rip the Band-Aid off. Go ahead and do it. So that's an interesting way to think about it. Tennessee will be known for being the first to do this. They're going to get some blowback probably. But the one thing Tennessee has in its favor, they have a 100,000-seat stadium too. And they have a passionate fan base. No, Tennessee has not been a great program for most of the last couple of decades. They'll have a good year. They're very, very good this year. They have a chance to make a playoff, maybe even challenge for a title this year. But that program has a gigantic fan base, just like Penn State, just like Ohio State. They've got a gigantic stadium. They've got people that are used to paying a lot of money to go to their gigantic stadium. So in some ways, I kind of applaud their business acumen of thinking outside the box and saying, screw it. Let's just charge them as much as we can. But the other side of me says, screw you for taking advantage of your fans. But that's what people do. I could go a lot of different ways with this conversation, but there's no way in the world I would go to a Major League Baseball game right now and pay for it. There's no way. It's insane. Let me Google MLB average price for fans, for F-O-U-R. All right. The average price is $140 to go to an MLB game. The Dodgers, $218. And that's factoring in the cost of 4 tickets, parking, 4 hot dogs, 2 beers, 2 sodas. Let's see where the Pirates are on this. They're usually further down. Pirates are $139 to go watch that bleep show with that owner. Oh my God. If you're out there paying $139 for 4 tickets to a Pirates game, wow, this is an interesting, wow. Family, I found a site here called Money Geek. If Clarkster's out there listening in Eastern PA, you'll get a big kick out of this. So I found a listing of what it costs to go to an MLB game. Dodgers are at the top, $219. Marlins are at the bottom, $83. But there's a great stat listed on this. This is fascinating. I don't think I've ever seen this kind of stat from a sporting standpoint. It says family game cost as percentage of weekly earnings. Okay? So this is labeling MLB game cost based on a percentage of your family's weekly earnings. It costs 12.1% of a family's weekly earnings to go to one Dodgers game. Now, for the Pirates, that number is 8%. Would you pay... Would you pay 8% of your family's weekly earnings to go to one Pirates game? I can't even say it without laughing. People do. People do it. PNC Park is gorgeous. That's one thing they got going for them. A lot of these, okay, so the Pirates are 8%. Mets, 6.4%. Braves, 6.8%. Reds, 6.8%. At the top of the list, you got Red Sox, 8.9%. Padres, 10.1%. Astros, this is a big number for Houston, 11.3%. That's second highest, only to the Dodgers. So if you're going to an Astros game, you're paying 11.3% of your family's weekly earnings to go to one frigging baseball game, $182. I ain't paying 8% of my family's weekly earnings to go see the Pirates. If you gave me an 8% raise, I might go see them, but then I got to drive all the way to Pittsburgh and. Unless Skeens is pitching, who the hell knows what you're going to see? I'm not sure. So 946-0435. Fascinating when you get into these finances and sports.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls.
Coast, Pacific Coast.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at TreatCOVID19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. We find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F-word. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at TreatCOVID19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
I want to close the show, play you something cool. This is really an interesting little discussion, kind of explanation by famous and longtime sports broadcaster Dan Patrick. This is really good. This will be of interest to a lot of folks around here with regards to Saquon Barkley, but also kind of just the way things work a little bit in the media business kind of deal. So Eagles obviously lost the other night to the Falcons. Saquon dropped a huge pass on third down that would have secured the win inside of 2 minutes, and then the Falcons drove the field, ended up winning the game. So this is a little thing from Dan Patrick that he talked about on his show yesterday. That's good stuff.
We were scheduled to have Saquon Barkley on, and as soon as he dropped that ball, I said to myself, probably not having Saquon Barkley on. And we talked about this in the final segment yesterday. If the Eagles happen to lose that game, this is the tough part. You know, Fritzy's booking people. We can get somebody. Oh, they have a game the night before. And this is a sponsored booking. So he was going to be on because he was selling a product. And then I said this morning when I came in, I said, it's probably wise if Saquon doesn't join us. I understood it because, you know, first of all, if you're the sponsor and you're paying him to endorse you, people aren't going to be focusing on the product. They're going to be focusing on the fact that Saquon is on a show right after this drop, right after this loss, and he's selling something, you know, to America. I get it. I've been doing this a long time, and we just celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Dan Patrick Show. I could probably, on one hand, tell you the number of times that I've heard from an athlete who had to cancel. It's very, very rare you hear from an athlete. Now, you might hear from a PR person. You might hear from a sponsor. But Saquon texted the show and said that he was sorry and that he'll do his best to make it up to us. I mean, that's a classy move. I'm not surprised because I've always felt that way with our interactions with him. He seems like a really good guy, good kid. And the fact that he reached out and said that, he didn't have to do that, but I do appreciate that. And once again, you can't come on talking about a product after you just, you know, had that, the ending of that game.
But we do appreciate him doing that. And we'll try to have him on at an appropriate time. And it's always difficult. You know, Fritzy's trying to juggle, like, who do we have on first hour? They can join us. And we wanted to have him on the show, but it makes it tougher to do an interview where you can actually talk to a person about more than just last night's game or that drop on third down. You know, you can't do it. Yeah. Had they won the game, had he caught that ball, had he got the first down, now it's a different tone with the interview. And I agree. I understand it. I'd like to have him on, but I'd like to have him on when I can do an interview, a conversation with him, not interrogate him over dropping the ball. Because there's only so many ways you can ask, what were you thinking? Or what do you say when you go back to the huddle? Or what's Jalen Hurts say to you? Or, but you know, was there any thought of running the ball? So once again, a long-winded way of saying, you know, we appreciate him doing that. And, you know, he had a tough night last night. This to say on that late game drop, this courtesy of WIP in Philadelphia.
I could sit here and, you know, complain and be upset about it, or I could be a professional athlete and go back to the drawing board and, you know, take the lick and move on and get better from it. I made that play multiple times. I missed that play before too, meaning the situation that happens part of the game. And I just got to be better. I let my team down. I got a man up to it. I got on it, which I'm doing. And I can promise those guys in his locker room that I'm going to be better from it.
Okay. I mean, there's probably a handful of comments by him that are very similar to this. It's, I let my team down, drop the ball. And he stood there and he answered questions at his locker after the game as well. All right, so...
That's Dan Patrick on his show. I thought it was a good explanation of what happened with Saquon. Saquon's a really good dude. I got to know Saquon a decent amount, you know, 8 years ago when he played for Penn State, as much as you kind of can in the media anyway, which is not great. But I was around Saquon a whole bunch for a couple of years, and he is a really good dude. Just a super friendly guy, very intelligent, well-spoken, good representative of himself and the team. And you know what? Sometimes in sports, you just don't make a play, you know? I coach a lot of kids in a lot of sports, and if a kid misses a play, you deal with it. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It happens. Everybody's trying their best. I have a hard time as a coach when kids aren't paying attention. And I've coached a lot of kids in a lot of different sports, very high-level kids, some very, very low-level athletic kids. And sometimes the low-level athletic kids are the ones that are paying the most attention, and they're trying the very best they can. They just, you know, maybe they're not good enough. Sometimes the highest-level kids are the ones that are not paying attention enough. But the only thing that bugs me being around athletes is when they make, you know, kind of mental mistakes, because you know they're just not paying attention. They're not focused on what they're doing. They're just kind of, you know, going through the motions or whatever. That was not the case, obviously, with Saquon Barkley, say, you know, in the closing minutes of an NFL game. And that's not the case, quite frankly, for 99% of athletes whenever they make a key mistake. They take the brunt of just getting blistered and blistered by people. And Saquon's been very heavily criticized over the past couple of days. But you know what? He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. I thought Dan Patrick did a really good job of explaining kind of what goes into the business aspect of it. Saquon stood there and answered questions after the game, but to have him on a radio show the next day, you know, it was very interesting what he said. It's a sponsored radio thing, and maybe the sponsor doesn't want Saquon on there because whatever the sponsor is trying to sell, you know, people aren't going to be listening. They're going to be remembering the fact that he dropped a pass. I thought that was really intriguing. All right, everybody, appreciate you tuning in. Thanks so much. Enjoy your night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1.